Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
Ziggy Zuggy, Ziggy Zuggy.
Wait.
We got barrels out.
It's still October, yeah. And this is a proper glass right here, or a proper vessel, I should say. It's not a glass at all.
Yeah, these are fun. We're drinking out of the barrel stein. Barrel mugs, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of steins, mugs, I guess. Yeah. We got our Oktoberfest inside of here.
I never made it down to Sketch to get wooden barrel mug.
Okay.
Made out of all
wood. Scratch.
Scratch. Yeah. What did I say?
Sketch.
Oh, shit. I meant to say Scratch.
Okay. But we filled it today with Printer's Row Oktoberfest.
Yeah. So what's that? Jefferson Park? Hello?
Right. Not yeah. Printer's Row.
You know, we got this thing in Chicago where, you know, 18th Street's not on 18th Street. And
Ravens or Ravinia's not in. Well, there is no Ravinia. We can't.
The old Ravinia was not in Ravinia. Not Ravinia. Irving Park, second location is not in Irving Park.
Right.
Printer's Row Brewing. Printer's Row is a neighborhood in downtown Chicago. Printer's Row, the brewery, is probably like 10 miles north of there. Right. In fucking Jeff Park.
Right. Which is a very cool location they have. What, like a 6 cross street kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
A funky building. It's a cool spot.
Mm-hmm.
But the beers aren't like top notch.
Fancy, your fancy's not tickled.
No, but
your, your nutter's not fluffered.
I've gone there quite a bit. I like the experience of the place.
Yeah,
like hanging out outside there, and even being inside this last time.
I think they were saying it used to be either a taco stand or like an old aquarium shop or something.
Oh, okay.
It's got a unique footprint. Yeah, yeah. It feels like you're at the like you said, it feels like you're at the intersection of a 6 corner.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'd be disappointed if it ever went away,
mm-hmm.
but I think they need to. I think they're getting better as they go. Mm. This Oktoberfest, it's not bad. It's fine, right?
Yeah, craft beer in this town is a bit of a blood sport because the suburb boys are making good beer. We're in the middle of the country, so we get good beer from everywhere. So, you know, to be a local output, you know, there's actually, you know, it's actually tough to stand out, mm-hmm. you know, being a small local outpost here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So to your point, like having a beer that's cool, are you, with all the options we got, are you just going to like go out of your way to go back somewhere that's just cool, you know?
Right. It's often a spot. I go to Printer's Row, even this last time. It's on a bike route of some kind. Like mm-hmm. it's a thing in between another place that I'm getting to.
Okay.
But as far as this Oktoberfest goes, it's sort of just empty feeling.
6.3.
I feel like I'm not getting flavors.
Yeah, a week ago we talked about those Oktoberfests where you come up to the line of too much flavor in the aftertaste and now you're thinking about it. I think this one crosses that line a little bit. Yeah, it definitely tastes like an Oktoberfest, but it's a little, I don't know if it's astringency or whatever's lingering, right? There's too much of that. Is it hot bitterness or is it just a big heavy malt bill? Whatever it is, it's lingering in a way that the lagers that we were drinking before this didn't have.
Right.
You know. So.
But anyway, we'll power through, professionals here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we'll get into it. So I was saying this was one of my stops this past week. I'll go in reverse here. So Printer's Row was this last stop on this bike ride. Previous to that, we were at Illuminated, the cult.
Oh, yeah. The lodge, right?
Yeah.
Man, it's fucking bizarre world up in that joint.
Yeah. They had a electra, like a, you know, what's the green Kool-Aid.
From Ghostbusters, yeah. Ecto Cooler?
They had an Ecto Cooler slushy that was a seltzer, but not a slushy. They called it a slushy, but it was a green seltzer.
Oh, so it wasn't like a frozen drink.
No, they called it an Ecto Cooler slushy seltzer, but not a slushy. It was green. It looked cool in the glass.
Now we're back to this eating Kolsch thing again, right?
Yeah, I got it for the color because I saw a couple guys were sitting there. One of the guys was from Double Clutch.
Okay.
And he was there, and I was like, oh, what's that? Is that the watermelon splash or watermelon thing? They're like, no, it's the slushy. I'm like, okay, why is... So the watermelon beer is not orange, but the Ecto Cooler slushy is? But all right. It was all right. No Oktoberfest at Illuminated.
I think last year they had a Mocktoberfest where it was like a little Ron Burgundy style character on the Oktoberfest, and that was their Marzen. And then they had a contest, like if you dressed up like Ron Burgundy, you got like a dollar beer or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
But yeah, none the same. Their cans were stacked pretty high for Christmas beer. They're like War on Christmas is already like ready to go. They're ready to drop those bombs.
I mean, you know, Mariah Carey is she's coming out of her chamber as soon as fucking October 5th.
Went up to number 3 on the CD disc changer. She's right there, ready to go.
She's warming up, man. She's about to come out for the season 2, so I guess it's that time. I'm in denial about it all, man. I'm wearing sandals today.
Sure.
I don't want any parts
sweater
of it.
Sweater and sandals.
I'm, you know, very Midwestern today.
But Illuminated, it's a fun spot. They do give you a discount if you bike there.
Oh, nice.
I don't know, 10%
okay.
off your bill, so there that's fun.
Yeah. Concerned about Mother Earth. That's very thoughtful, very considerate of them.
The beers are good there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny spot. It feels like what I would have wanted the other place that closed that was between... That was on the corner that had the Phobab Metal Winner, the lightsaber beer handles.
Oh, Empirical.
It's what I would, what I wanted Empirical to be.
Fair. Yeah, it's kind of like this, just a step above, like, the garage. I got kicked out the house, but I'm making cool beer, and I got a cool scene, and it's in an actual building this time, but it still kind of feels like my garage.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, we got a barbecue out here. You know, sometimes we're just making burgers for lunch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're just chilling super hard. I do like, they have a collab with City Winery, and I think it's like another one of these seltzer things. It's co-branded. It comes in a smaller can. This is Illuminated, and it's like a wine seltzer hybrid thing, and the Illuminated mix, and I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a stop number 2, even in reverse, and then stop number 1 was Alarmist.
Right on. Old Faithful. Probably the team that's delivering the goods out of these 3 stops.
Yeah, we went there first. We were sitting in the patio. It was pretty windy that day, not too cold. We all were just kind of like, maybe we don't do this bike ride, and we just stay drinking at Alarmist.
There you go.
And, yeah.
At least the patio's still open.
Patio was still open. Mm-hmm. They had their Oktoberfest. They got Crispy Boy going. They also have their premium lager, Crispyville.
Uh-huh.
And a couple, yeah. Hazy's going. Just a good solid lineup. They had everything you wanted. So
yeah. I think my last trip to Verizon. My last trip to Alarmist, I saw that folks were chilling hard with like very kid friendly.
Yeah.
Kids are having a ball. Kids are chilling.
Yeah. I would think of those 3 spots, Illuminated is the least kid friendly, but they have pinball machines.
Hmm.
It's like it'd be a place where I've seen kids that illuminate it, but it's also a place where you're like, I don't know, we're basically in the garage. So, like, don't touch stuff kind of feeling. But, yeah, that was, like, my 3 little stops on the bike ride. We got some hot dogs at Super Dogs, went to Abel Weiss, the German restaurant, kind of right on the edge of the city, drink Steins, buddy, drink a boot of beer.
Oh, so they have boots at this place.
They have boots.
Okay.
2 liters. I haven't talked to him since last That's week, funny. So I don't know if he made it home.
Are you okay?
Yeah, is he okay? I don't know. But the Double Clutch guys did, when we were at the, or the Double Clutch guy at the bar did mention the temperance thing, which we'll get into here in a little bit. But yeah. Before we do that, you went to a new brewery.
It was new to me. Let me tell you that. It was in the city. You know, the city, you know, we kind of get exhausted, right? We kind of go to some of the same places if you stay in city limits. That's why when you start going to the burbs, I try to follow suit and say, hey, well, what are some new experiences I can have?
Yeah.
Because all the places near me, I kind of hit up all the time. So, you know, I do the map, you know, the breweries near me, and there's a Pho Number One Brewing on Belmont. Now, I'm on Addison, not far from Belmont.
Okay.
And I'm like, there's no way this is real. And if it's real, like, why is no one talking about this? And I'm like, you know, and this was like in the summer I saw this.
And they won a GABF medal.
Before you know it, they were 200 barrel, small, extra small brewery of the year. No. So I'm like, you know, two, 3 months later, man, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going. So, because I'm like, well, I haven't done shit for the show. I'm going.
Okay.
So I go 8,000 West on Belmont to Dunning, Chicago.
Okay, right.
Never heard of this. Never been this far west on Belmont. I have no idea where I was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a Pho restaurant in Bright Ass Green.
And you went because you needed food, too.
And then I was hungry. Yeah, it was like right after work.
This is something we continue to bring up. If you're not offering food, I don't have a lot of reason to go to you.
Are we going 8,000 West if to just a brewery, just a tap room with no food? Probably not. Probably not. That's true. Yeah. So you get to this joint, it's a straight up Pho restaurant. And I've never had Pho. I'm a fan of ramen.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, this is my first Pho experience.
Same, but different.
Yeah, exactly. Same, but different. I think I think the broth's a little brighter. I think the noodles are maybe rice or something, and the other ones are probably not.
More broth.
A lot more broth.
Yeah.
And the ingredients are a little different. You know, a little lime, a lot more, maybe cilantro, maybe?
And a thinner noodle.
Yeah. So, I mean, this Pho is where it was at. This Pho was the business. I'm like, man, this is great.
Oh, you're like a Pho over ramen?
You know, I did like the flavors in this Pho. I would definitely, and you know, fucking Crab Rangoon. Everything is great. You know, they got the decor. It kind of feels, you know, it kind of feels exotic. You know, it doesn't feel like you just call it a Pho place. You know, they go out their way to have, you know, light fixtures and statues and shit to make you feel like you might be somewhere else.
Okay.
That kind of shit, you know. But they were playing this spa music, which was kind of funny.
All right. You know?
But overall, man, it just had a cool spot. It was clean. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was a good spot.
And they're making beer.
And they got like 4 beers on draft, man. They got a Viet Lager. They got a barrel-aged coffee stout. They have a pineapple IPA.
Okay.
And they have a blueberry Kolsch.
The pineapple IPA, I can understand from the Pho experience.
Yeah.
These other ones, that's some homebrew kit.
I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like. So I look over to the corner. I see a system. I'm like, how big is the system over here? He's like, well, we got a 2-barrel system, but those are 4-barrel fermenters. They got 3 of them. They got a crowler system where you can get, like, you know, 32-ounce cans of their stuff to go. At Pho Number One Brewing. It's fucking bizarre, man.
Is there a Pho Number Two?
I don't know. It's so weird.
Why Pho restaurants always have numbers?
I have more questions than answers, Brad.
There's 777, there's 666, Pho Threes.
This place was something, man. It was, you know, honestly, I think they were making beers to complement the food. That's what they said. But
the coffee stout?
That's right. And then there's also Vietnamese coffee. So there's a big wall of these cans of, you know, the Phin Du Mon, the New Orleans coffee. Big cans of that if you want to get a, you know, Vietnamese coffee, which didn't come in a fancy cup. It came in just like a styrofoam to-go cup with a straw.
Okay.
I wanted some. I'm sitting there I'm at the bar. I kind of wanted a fancy cup guy. Where's my fancy cup? I got this fancy ass bowl, you know.
This is what they do in Dunning.
Okay.
Slowly got it.
Yeah. So Dunning's super far. I was telling Brad, you're across the street. You're not in Chicago no more. You're on Belmont. Across the street, you're in Elmwood Park, the suburb.
Yeah.
But you're on the north side of the street. You're in Chicago. But it was a good time. I would think the lager was probably my favorite, even though the lager had like it was kind of fruity for some reason.
Okay.
But it had the smallest amount of flavor. Like, I don't want the flavor. The food was better than the beer. So you're drinking this barrel-aged coffee stout, and you're like, man, this has a lot of coffee in it. This is actually not bad. But then it's like very roasty.
Huh.
And I'm like, okay, I'm noticing some of the things I don't like about these beers, having them with this really good food. You know what I mean? So that's the danger of having food and beer, you know, because
one could, yeah.
Yeah, you like pick up, you're like, oh, I don't like this beer. Because
half acre.
Like, why is the beer not as good as the food?
Yeah, why in that case?
Or the other way around.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the way around. But the beers were solid. Solid enough to say I would go back.
I would go back. Well, cool. Are you going back for the beer or are you going
back
for the
lager? I might have the lager. I might see what the else they got pouring, okay. You know. See if y'all got some kind of shots or something we could do up in this joint, you know. Maybe some liquor you guys drink that I don't know about, you know. I'm definitely going back for the pho.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a cool spot, man.
I'm sure they might have liquor. What's the Korean one, the milk one?
We had it. We're hanging out with you at one time.
Birthday, yeah.
Yeah, well, I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, I'm blanking.
I took a picture of it, too. Or somebody took a picture of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was excited that I got a new experience on Belmont for breweries.
Right. That's, you know, kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So.
Man, we got like a nap or something. Yeah. Here. All right. So, I don't know. It was kind of a fun, different weekend for both of us. Kind
right.
of went to three breweries you could bike to, no food, kind of no frills, all three of those breweries, and then a pho brewing place. That's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And then in the pre-show, we were starting to talk about the GABF awards that happened.
Yes.
And we were talking because, you know, pho number one hasn't won yet, but Green Star up here on the corner that Nick has many times said he hate it, possibly hates more than Rosa.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what was worse.
So we got to run down this list. These happened, I think, on the last episode, the next day or that night.
Yeah, JBF, man. I think it's the oldest and largest festival and competition in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think this year they were saying they had they did a lot of stuff beyond beer. There was cocktails. They had a cider category. Who won an award for the first time ever? They had it was funny because I think there was one cider company that just won every award.
Okay.
And it was kind of weird. I'm like, oh, let me guess, they're gonna win Cidery of the Year as well.
Right.
They had wrestling at JBF. You know, they had a lot of installations that were kind of like beer was just a piece of it. It was really trying to be more interactive, like another kind of fest, like Complex Con or some shit.
I guess it makes sense. They got a. It's not. I don't want to say it's dying. It's changing, and you got to offer the other stuff, right? Otherwise, someone's gonna do it, and then you might as well do it. Otherwise, someone else will, and then there's all of a sudden the cider fest that's bigger.
Come drink this beer is not enough to get people out.
Right.
It's got to be other stuff. Yeah. All right, you're right.
But this list of winners of Illinois breweries was kind of slightly surprising.
Nine. Okay, I miscounted.
Nine winners.
Nine Illinois winners, man. Let's start with the gold. Green Star Brewing, man. Well, first of all, I think I think Ben from Off Color pointed this out. There were 200 categories this year, and that you could pick, that you could enter for. And and maybe rewind maybe to 2011, there was probably like closer to 80 categories.
Oh, geez.
So a lot more categories this year. So shout out to Green Star Brewing. That's right at the corner of Irving and Clark. They won the only gold medal on this list for Bateman Beer. Bateman Beer is a amber American lager.
Does this make you want to go back to Green Star?
I almost went today. I didn't realize it until, I pulled up and I was like, well, man, we got to talk about GABF. I should get the list ready. I was like, fuck, I got to win. I passed it. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, I wouldn't mind. It's $9 a pour over there. I looked it up.
Okay.
It's, and they're the only certified organic, well, the first certified organic brewery in Illinois.
Okay.
According to their website. I would go back and try their Amber Lager. I mean, good for them.
Right. Good for them. No. Shade to anyone that wins an award here.
I mean,
this is great for you. Of course, it's got to be good.
It's got to be good. At all the beers that entered that day, your peers said, hey, man, this is the one that is most exemplary of the style.
Yeah.
So, that counts for something. These are people that make beer or people that judge beer all the time, you know? Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
All right, man. We'll just go down the list here, man. Pollyanna, the one for Lexical Gap. That's American IPA.
Okay. They've won a couple times for other beers, so I think they're Thinking Light has won before.
You're right. No, that is Pollyanna.
Or no, is that Pollyanna? That might be the Light the Lamp.
No. Light Reading?
Light something.
They both have a beer called with Light in the name.
Yeah.
But it was Pollyanna that won.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right, because it was like Light Reading or something. Mm-hmm. It was like a light lager. So cheers to the Moody Tongue. One for Cassis. which is a fruited wood and barrel aged sour beer. That's a bronze. Double Clutch, we were talking about them. They won a silver again for alt beer.
Oh, Double Clutch wins a lot of awards.
I feel like they've been around for 3 years and won all 3 years.
Yeah.
Peace is back on the board with Door Code. That's a German style Pilsner.
Oh, Peace back?
Peace might be back. They won a silver. He's got
to take over Jonathan Cutler. Kind of.
I think this is the first post Jonathan Cutler award for Peace.
Shit. Okay.
So good for them. Hopewell. Probably the most underrated brewery in the city. Tank Beer is a Keller Ohrzwickel beer, which I believe is a type of fresh, unfiltered, unpasteurized lager, I believe.
So I think I've had.
That beer?
Yeah.
In particular, Tank Beer. Took a bronze. Cruz Blanca is on the board with Wild Honey. That's a specialty saison.
Okay.
Yeah. Moore and Huntley, one for Barrel-Aged Doppelbock.
That's a category?
Well, wood and barrel-aged beer is a category.
Oh, okay.
And barrel-aged.
Only barrel-aged Doppelbocks.
Doppelbocks only, bruh.
And they gotta be barrel-aged.
Doppelbocks only, bruh.
Three people entering the wood barrel-aged Doppelbock category.
So cheers to more, man. And then Workforce. Workforce, wood and barrel-aged strong stout for a silver for Humongous Sleepy Chungus Bear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So good for them, man. So nine winners overall, and I believe three in the city: Cruz Blanca, Hopewell. Oh, four: Cruz Blanca, Hopewell, Peace. Well, five if you count Moody Tongue. So Cruz Blanca, Hopewell, Peace, Moody Tongue, and the good folks at Green Star.
Interesting.
So five Chicago breweries took home medals this year.
Yeah, I think I started this with like surprising wins. I think the Green Star is surprising. Peace. Getting an award again is a little surprising because they basically fell off the horse there. Couldn't figure it out, but seems like they might have figured it out. And then Workforce wins from time to time. Pollyanna wins usually. Double Clutch usually picks up something. So Cruz Blanca getting something is pretty good. Interesting for that. But yeah, nothing from Old Irving or... who usually else picks up something? Blanking, but yeah.
Yeah, an interesting takeaway is that...
sometimes gets something every now and then.
American-style IPA, had to be one of the bigger categories this year. So that's a pretty heavy award for Pollyanna, Lexical Gap. Lexical Gap. And now, if, you know, maybe we can just do a quick search and see, you know...
I looked at the hazies, the double hazies. It looked like a lot of Colorado and California people won this time, which is an interesting... Man, that's going to be such a hard category to judge, the hazy category, because that whole profile has shifted quite a bit. Like, I would say like LaJuice or Beezer may not be what you think of a hazy today. It's hazy, but it's not what people want from a hazy at this point.
No, that's true. I was trying to look up categories and, you know, how many entries if you look at the PDF view.
Oh.
So, for example, Wood and Barrel-Aged Stout had 131 entries. Fruit is Sour had 165. Oh, but the only reason I looked it up is I wanted to see what the biggest categories were. Shit, German-style Pilsner, 175.
Okay.
That's funny. Marzen 195. Yeah, but like to your point, I think IPA and double IPA
and
then hazy would be traditionally those are the biggest categories.
Right.
So, yeah, I was trying to do
because those are the beers that are going to get people in the door. The wild or the fruited saison might pique people's interest, but it's not getting anyone to come to your brewery for. But the IPA win. For Pollyanna, yeah.
Yeah, Juicy or Hazy is 151 entries, but they were American-style IPA. American-style IPA, 217.
Oh, okay.
So
less hazies. Like, hazy was, like, one of the biggest categories for a minute.
It looks like the top three categories were Juicy or Hazy IPA with 349, West Coast IPA with 292, and then that American-style India Pale Ale, the one that... Lexical Gap took a bronze, was the third largest at 217.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there It's an American style IPA. Is there a regular IPA category?
There's an Imperial India Pale Ale category, which means
that's a double IPA though, right?
Yeah.
But American IPA.
Because American.
I'm just wondering if there's an IPA category that's not American.
Well, an IPA an IPA is an English beer, right? So just like a stout or an ESB.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the IPA that Goose makes is an English IPA.
Right. But there's
Is there an English IPA? Yeah. With all these goddamn categories, there should be.
Right.
Just doing a sweep to see what I missed on IPA. Oh, well, I want to just go to the.
The drop downs?
Yeah. Well, because the drop. Oh, style. Yeah, because drop down. Well, drop down didn't give you the number of entries, okay. So you had to look at the PDF. But yeah, if you just go to the drop down. No, it's so weird. Am I missing? No, I'm reading this right. Imperial India IPA.
Okay.
Imperial Pale Ale. And then it goes Juicies.
Interesting.
Juicy Imperial, Juicy or Hazy IPA, Juicy Pale, Juicy Hazy Strong. There's a Juicy Hazy Strong and a Juicy Imperial.
What's the difference?
I don't know. But to answer your question, Brad, there's no English IPA and there's just no straight up IPA. The closest you get to just you get West Coast IPA and you get American IPA. So, I mean, West Coast would be
more of a traditional IPA.
Well, you know, West Coast is big on for example, Two Hearted is more of a Midwestern IPA where it's like that big malt bill where it's kind of sweet and kind of honeyed on mm-hmm. the malt bill and then the big hops. West Coast is like bone dry. It's like a lot thinner. It's more like
right.
it's
all hops.
Yeah. So hops are coming through big time, right? And it's like a lighter in color, lighter on palate, you know, like it's not as heavy. Yeah.
I guess I've never thought, I understand that they're different.
Yeah.
But I never thought about them being two unique categories.
Oh, yeah.
Which that's kind of interesting. As you said at the beginning, there was only like 88 categories before. Now there's, 100 and something?
Yeah, there's like almost 200.
And so I think the breaking up of that maybe, one, gets more people awards.
Yeah.
But we've said before, awards don't get people in the door.
No, it's more of a, what do you call it?
Sometimes they get you into like the supermarkets and stuff.
Yeah, because that's what you saw with Alarmist with Ella Juice.
Right.
I think it kicked down some doors for them as far as like, oh, we can go.
Oh, you're a real place.
Right.
You're not pho brewing number one.
Oh, okay. People know you. Your peers vouch for you. Cool. You can have Mariano's.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So it does play in that sense. But are people getting more excited because you won an award? We were talking about places that close and fucking, it's not GABF, but Smiley Brothers had a Phobat Metal. They closed.
I thought they had a World Beer Cup or GABF for Purple.
Oh, and you're right. Yeah, I forgot about the Purple Line.
Right.
I mean, so they had GABF medals and World Beer Cup medals and Phobat medals.
Right, and we mentioned Empirical. They had that Phobat medal, like best in show, right?
Oh, they did that.
No, it wasn't.
It was definitely
won
a medal.
Something.
Well, yeah, I mean, it won a category.
They never had when you go there. They didn't have it.
Oh, kind of like Brother Chimp when we went to fucking Beer in the Glass.
Oh yeah.
The dude's walking around with his medal. He's like, "Look at us, we won gold." And you're like, "Oh, let me get that."
He's like, "No."
Oh well, we ain't got it.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." I guess I'll take a picture of the fucking monk.
Huh. But yeah, congratulations to the winners. It makes me, I was very turned off on Peace for a while. My last experience, I think I talked about on the show, it was very, very good. They didn't have that like extra fee on there, although they have it still on the menu. Mm. The beers were good. Pizza felt better than it had been. And it's like, okay, you guys fixed whatever was broken here.
There you go. Yeah. We love a good comeback story.
Right. So. Especially because we talked about on the last show, and that, you know, it's come out before that's come out, but Temperance.
Yeah.
Shutting in a, like, crazy fast announcement. Like, basically, they announced it and were like, we're closed in 2 weeks.
Yeah. We're done in 2 weeks.
Which, that's surprising to me on the short time frame announcements. Like, you would think you'd go, let's go a month so we can at least get rid of all this beer.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with all this beer?
We got all this beer.
You must not have been brewing for the past month.
It's probably been in the works for a while.
Right.
I think in the announcement it did say something like, hey, we got the name will live on. It kind of alluded to them maybe being a contract brand. Like, we're closing our facility.
Sure.
So we're not making any more beer, but you might see Temperance beer produced. Short
Fuse is picking up the rights. Temperance now. They will just be the zombie brewery for all.
We can have Bernie's Temperance come into a suburb near you. I mean, right? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like they're still going to give it a go. But this is the same thing, switching gears, like J.W. Wakefield down in Miami. You know, he's, you know, pastry stouts and fucking, you know, sick hazies and all this kind of shit. Oh, but they changed their model. They're like, man, this neighborhood is too expensive for us. We're going to stop making beer here.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to find a cheaper space at some point and have a taproom experience. But in the meantime, we're just going to shut our doors and try to make beer somewhere else because we can't afford this space anymore.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it's, is it working out for them?
I don't know. Because I only drink their beer, barely makes it up here. I've had it at a few size games just in the parking lot.
Right. And, you know, we talked about it. The experience of Metropolitan was drinking at that brewery.
Yeah.
I wasn't buying Metropolitan beer to pick at home. And apparently nobody else was.
Not in the quantity. They made so much more of it, brewing out of that space, that they really need to justify that. You really need to be selling more of it.
Right.
And maybe that didn't happen.
And that's got to be Temperance's problem, too. It's like, Basement Party's a great beer.
I'd
pick up a six-pack if I'm there. I'm not picking up a six-pack if I'm going to Binny's and getting it. I'm not picking up, definitely not picking up any other Temperance beer. But at Temperance, a Birdsong? Sure.
Birdsong, Gatecrasher. I'll take a Gatecrasher.
I'll drink it there. I like the experience of drinking it there. I didn't want to drink those at home.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
It's so, them thinking like the Metro was Short Fuse. I wanted to drink Metro at Metro. I don't want to drink Metro at Short Fuse, and I don't want to drink Metro that you make that's now in the market, and I have no connection to this brewery. So I don't want Temperance to be like, oh yeah, Great Central is now making Basement Party.
It's like, it might be Haymarket or yeah.
It's like, cool. I wasn't drinking it before, and I'm definitely not drinking it now.
Yeah. Evanston, man, Midnight Pig, which was a Plainfield brewery, which inexplicably had a satellite tap room in Evanston,
mm-hmm.
that occupied an old steakhouse, they closed. We talked about Smiley Brothers. They closed. Yeah, and now Temperance. So now it's Sketchbook. Temperance
Sketchbook or Evanston. Sketchbook and Double Clutch.
And Double Clutch. Evanston had five breweries. Now they're down to two. Yeah.
And Sketchbook's like, you know, I think they're never going to probably get rid of that Evanston spot unless it gets way too expensive. But they're all in on that Skokie location.
Yeah.
And that's a better experience anyway than going to the Skokie one.
I mean, the Evanston.
Yeah, the Evanston one. Yeah, the Evanston one.
It's cool if you're over there.
Right.
Or if you're just, you know, on a day trip and took the train up
but to Evanston. But it's crowded. It's loud.
Tiny.
You can't sit in there and talk.
Yeah. I prefer Skokie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Double Clutch, you know, they got good food.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Double Clutch for the food and the beer.
That's true. Yeah. I think if we include the suburbs in our rankings, you know, of places that just have good food and good beer, you probably can't get past number five without bringing up Double Clutch.
Yeah.
Maybe even higher than that.
Yeah, just a solid option. They have a really good burger and they have other, like, all the like appy things that are like really good. So.
Yeah, they're doing good work, and they're part of a restaurant group too.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah, so the restaurant group, and then I think the restaurant group had a garage, where they just kept all their rich friends kept all their fancy cars, and then they had a homebrew buddy who was friends with one of the owners, and that's how this thing got off the ground. A homebrew friend who was making beer for 20 years.
Yeah, it feels like. The whole Double Clutch experience feels like we're fucking around here, and it doesn't need to make money because we got money.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Double Clutch feels like to me.
Like
until we get bored of this, we're good.
It doesn't feel like a bootstrap operation. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like people who knew what the fuck they were doing. This ain't the first time they've done some shit like this. That's how it feels when you go in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool space, man. If anybody needs an excuse to get out of the city, I would suggest Double Clutch for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the guy at Double Clutch gave, we were there on the bikes, and at Luminate gave some tokens, and so we got a couple drinks. So if we want to go up there, we got some drinks.
You know, I don't mind a Double Clutch run. You know, yeah. Cause they do a Rausch beer pretty good up there. They never have it on, but they do a good Rausch beer. And they do one that rivals, Geneva, our history.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go there and I'm like, I can't not get a Kölsch or an Helles.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, phew, all right, what else am I getting here? And then I'm like, shit, I gotta go.
I'm in Evanston. I gotta get back.
I'm at the far end of Evanston, too. I'm not at the sketchbook side of Evanston. I'm at the other side of Evanston.
Yeah, you're super far east. Yeah, you got to get back.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Kind of bummer news. Did you have Temperance on your bingo card or on your thought?
I did not. Well, I mean, in hindsight, right, the whole 2020, but they did do a... It wasn't exactly GoFundMe, but it was some kind of investment opportunity, and they partnered with some external firm to do it, and they gave you ownership if you gave them money or something. That they did announce that early in the year, and I guess it didn't go the way they planned, but when the news came out that they might be closing, I was like, oh, yeah, they did do that thing. They did ask people. They actively were looking for folks to invest.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say, like, completely surprised, just based on that action, right? Like, you guys were trying to raise capital, so it sounds like, you know, it's just pricey to do. That's what it sounds
right.
like.
Right, but it's when you see places like Temperance or Metropolitan Clothes and then other places like even, you know, not really open, but Lake Effect
mm-hmm.
moving and opening a new spot, it's like, how is Temperance closing and Lake Effect still making beer? Or how's, someone's doing something right, someone's doing something wrong, I guess.
Yeah. We talked about that burn rate. Argus had a long burn rate. Argus, right. Those boys had restaurant.com money. You know, they were old school. They had old money. And they could go 10 years without turning a profit. You know, year 15 rolled around. They're like, well, you know, yeah, we won some awards, but I'm kind of tired of losing money for almost two decades.
Yeah.
So fuck it, we're closing. But they went like 15 years before closing, you know. So and then it's got a lot to do with like your investment group, right? Like the investment group at the investment group at Goose led to them, you know, selling part of their business and then going back to sell all of it.
Right.
That's because they had like 50 people and they all had their hand on like, where's our cash?
If Goose didn't have Anheuser-Busch, they would have shut down a long time ago.
You know, having a crazy drunk uncle with deep pockets helps all of would I help any of us, Brad.
The Clybourne location would have just been the biggest suck on them that they it would have drowned them, I think.
The best thing they could have done probably was sell.
Yeah.
Right? John Hall got in that thing when he was 40. So, you know, so they rolled around 20 years. Now he's like 60, 70. Right. And then they're in the same boat. They needed a cash injection.
Right.
So, yeah, they're a stronger brand probably after the sale than before it.
Oh,
they went to all 50 states after the sale.
Yeah.
So it was for sure. That's what I'm saying. It was for sure the right move.
Without the sale, I think they would have, you know, either somehow restructured or.
Or look at or just make make no noise at all. Look at Wild Onion.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Onion's been around since the '90s. Look at where do we brew that beer?
Not Ram.
Fuck.
Emmett's.
Look at Emmett's. Look at Lunar. You know, you'd be around, but you wouldn't make any noise.
Yeah, well, Lunar's sort of like they're not a brewery like the pub place. Is not a brewery. Like, we're a bar that has beer. We're a bar that's a brewery.
Correct. I think
Head Goose. We're a full restaurant.
Yeah.
That can brew our own beer, which is very fun. You got to have unique stuff. Like, you got to have unique food. You got to have unique beer. Uh-huh. You got to have a theme. You got to be doing something to get people.
I think if Goose doesn't sell, they take on the role of like the something similar. They're closer to like a, not Timothy O'Toole's, but like Chief O'Neill's, right? Where it's just like people who live around here know about it and people go there, you know, because they got cool, you know, because they throw cool events every once in a while and you can let your kids go crazy in there.
Sure.
It would be something, it'd be a very much a niche neighborhood thing if they didn't sell.
But not to end on like a downer, but if you, now that, you know, we saw two big places close.
If you had Temperance.
Temperance and Metro this year.
Yeah.
I don't think we see, you know, it was only October, but I don't think we see another close at this point. But who would you think doesn't make the cut if for 2024 still? Like, this is all heads roll here with Temperance going down.
It was a surprise. All things considered, it was a surprise. Because they, I mean, people were chiming in, like, people talked about all the concerts they saw at that place because they partnered with Space, this music venue place. So I'm kind of, I was caught off guard a little bit by that. Right. Even with the GoFundMe thing.
Yeah, I'd throw a crazy one. I think Peace could close. Peace could just be done. Like, just be like, we've had an amazing run.
Yeah.
We're selling the building. It's Weir Park, Bucktown. Like, that's a valuable building in its own.
Yep, that's true.
Like, they'd be like, okay, we won another award. We did it. We're out.
And they're already at a point where they're not brewing as much beer. There's a lot of guest drafts on.
Right.
Huge influx of guest drafts, maybe more than ever at Peace. I mean, but do people still buy Peace Pizza? You have to eat it there. It's the crust doesn't travel very well.
Right. It's the only place you can get New Haven pizza.
And it's just essentially a sports bar, right? People go there. I don't know if they do live karaoke still, but... I don't
know. That would be my kind of wild one, just to be like, oh, shit, Peace closed?
Yeah.
And that's more of just, we're done. Like, let's sell this building and get out. Because they got to own that building, right? They've been there since early 2000s, yeah. So they got on that building.
You would think, but we don't know how the economics of this stuff works.
Even with the Cheap Trick money, you're not gonna pick anyone. Who got?
Who do I think might close? Wow, that's a tough one, man.
Ravinia, they're gonna change.
You think Ravinia might just shut it down? I mean, it might be too much for them because now they haven't announced what they're changing the name to.
Yeah, I don't know what the terms are.
They're in a building that, you know, doesn't have really the best of luck with these things.
It's a weird location.
Yeah. They don't participate in the Brewers Triangle anymore.
Well, there's no triangle.
Now there is no triangle anymore. There's a line.
It's basically Maplewood and them.
Yeah. I mean... Maybe it's Ravinia? I don't know. I don't know. It'd be kind of sucky, though, because it's... I like them, but then B, I think they did a good job with that space, especially with the upstairs deck and the cool bar.
Maplewood should just kind of come over and take that over, or someone like Hopewell should come over there and be like, we're a full place now.
Oh, like we got a kitchen now?
Yeah.
It's our second location. It'd be a good second location, but where else do we... Are there any other buildings like that where another tenant moved in and now this got kind of like, it's like, man, why are y'all moving in there?
Twisted Hippo.
Look at Twisted Hippo. Who was Twisted Hippo? Was Finch, and before that it was Break Room.
Break Room, yeah.
So, I mean, this is a small sample size, but breweries that turn over and become
another brewery. Because what went at Ballast Point didn't become another brewery.
No. What'd they do with that space?
I don't know if they've done anything yet.
Yeah. But with Beta Brow, the Beta Brow space is now Moody Tongue. Moody Tongue seems to be okay. I mean, locally, people have written off Moody Tongue.
Junior, you just went there? It was Maple.
Oh, Motorola.
It was Motorola.
That's an example of it working. They seem to be rolling. Oh, cheers to them, man, because Junior is celebrating their third anniversary.
Oh.
This weekend. So nice. They got a heifer barbecue. They got a Chicago Secret Burger. And they're doing a bunch of special tappings.
Okay.
And they're going to party their ass off down in Motorola.
Nice.
That's a good example of them. They seem to be doing better than Motorola was. Because Motorola, remember, was contract brewing, like, I want to say Haymarket's lager. They were definitely contract brewing for Geno's East.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, so how things, it sounds, it almost seems like a panic, unless you went into it, like, Great Central style. If you set up, if me and you set up, you know, Brad and Nick's Brewing Concern, and a year into it, we're brewing for fucking Tony's Finer Foods, we're fucking up, right? You would think. Or is that, was that the plan all along, to just brew for Geno's East?
I know, you're either like, we're fucking up, or we're like, let's get paid. Oh, we're brewing Tony's beer.
Listen, we're brewing for Tony's. Tony's has 20 locations, God damn it, and we're brewing.
We don't give a shit.
We don't care.
Pay us.
Yeah. So maybe that is part, maybe it's part of the plan. We don't give a fuck. If the library says they want a beer, God damn it.
Our calzones aren't selling, we're out.
If Chicago Public Schools Teachers Association wants a beer, then God damn it, we're brewing it.
Every water fountain.
Yeah, so. But
all right. I feel like it's been a rough year for Chicago beer.
Yeah. Doing your celebrating their anniversary.
Beguile, you know, Beguile Dovetail are celebrating theirs, and they did.
Yeah.
Places are... Some are going strong. What was Temperance 10 years, did they say?
I think they did just turn 10.
10, so.
You hold your head high.
That's not a bad run.
That's a good run. That's a damn good run.
Yeah, like, it's not you failed. It's like, oh, moving on kind of thing. I feel like in the first 3 to 5, you failed. 10, you did good.
They got nothing to be ashamed of up there, man.
No.
They really don't.
All right. That's going to do it then. Anything else before we get out of here?
I think that's it, man. Yeah.
All right. We'll add Printer's Row Oktoberfest to the lineup. We still got a few cans. I think...
Oh, shout out to Rev. They're partying this weekend for the launch of Deep Woods 2024 season.
Nice.
Bramble, Cafe Deeth, and... Death Star, I think, is the first three.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.